Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Time for our Monday morning visit with the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Kevin Mose. Doc, good morning. Let me start by asking you about some questions that we keep getting over and over again regarding the booster. We heard initially that you shouldn't mix the brands of the vaccines. You should get the same ones. But now, well, what's the story on the booster and mix and match?
Yeah, Bob. So initially, you know, if you're someone who hasn't been vaccinated at all, you certainly should go with the same manufacturer for your first two shots. Beyond that, you know, you can use whatever is available. Many studies have shown that, you know, taking either one is going to be great for you. So don't go around and shop at the CVS and Walgreens and say, oh, I had Moderna. Do you have it? No. You know, as far as boosters, you can get either booster and you're still going to get the protection. That being said, we're not seeing great protection with BA5, mm-hmm. but still, certainly we expect people to get vaccinated.
Yeah, and the booster that we may get this fall, will that be effective against these new subvariants?
Yeah, absolutely. So, what they're doing right now, and it's in the testing phases, is that it's going to be a bivalent. In other words, there's going to be two strains in there. One, the original COVID strain, and the second one will be the BA4, BA5. So you're actually going to be protected against the one that is going, unfortunately, running rampant right now around the world.
Yeah, and that brings us to the other question that keeps coming up. If you get a booster now and you want to get this new one later this year, is it okay to do that?
Yeah, you know, it's all going to come down to timing and supply because it's going to be very interesting. You know, we're pushing them to make this the vaccine, and they're saying, hey, you know what, we may not be able to have it until, you know, late October, early November. So people should be looking, saying, I don't want to wait that long. So the potential for you to get BA5 is very high right now. So you want to be everything you can to be protected against it now. We don't know what it's going to be like in 4 months. You know, mm-hmm. BA5 may be phasing out, and there may be another one. So certainly I would try to stay as protected as you can right now, just because of the incidence of what we're seeing.
But will it be okay to have a booster again that close to the booster you may get in the next few weeks?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And it really is going to be, it'll be fine. You know, an extra booster is not going to hurt anybody. It's going to be, will you need one? Because I think what we're seeing right now, Bob, is if you look at how many people are getting BA5 right now, they're going to have some natural immunity for, you know, anywhere 30, 60, 90 days, which is going to push them right up to that vaccine date. So certainly you want to minimize your chance of getting it right now, minimize the chance of the infection causing you any long-term problems, and then really maximize your health potential.
Right now, the second boosters are approved for anyone over 50. Is that going to change to all adults being okay to get the second boosters?
Yeah, I expect that. Actually, I expect that this week. I think, you know, with the numbers that we're seeing and the incidents that we're seeing, I think we're going to have to try to do everything we can to not only curtail the spread, but decrease the incidence as we're starting to see hospitalizations go up, which is unfortunate, and the number of cases is just skyrocketing.
This long COVID is something that really scares a lot of people, including me. I was watching CBS Sunday Morning yesterday. They did a story on this and how they're still searching for the causes and treatments, but they mentioned the gut microbiome and how that may play a part in long COVID. And explain what that is. It's in our digestive tracts, isn't it?
Correct. Yeah. So we have a microbiome. In other words, we have bacteria and viruses that live in our gut all the time. So what they're looking at with long COVID, they saw that 25% of people that got COVID still had some symptoms within 1 to 4 weeks. Then over 12 weeks, 10% of people. So they're going, wait a second, what is going on here? So they started to do blood tests to try to figure it out, and they found that in the plasma of people that they have this specific spike protein is still noted there. So they're trying to figure out, is this a longer-term infection? Is COVID living in our stomach, in our intestines, that we just have it as an infection that's just kind of lingering constantly there? So that's certainly what they're looking at, and then looking to see if we can eradicate it. Everyone has to understand, we have a lot of bacteria in our stomach, and you know, it's important bacteria. You know, some of it helps us digest sugars and digest dairy products. So we have this constant living bacteria and viruses in our gut that are very important for our health.
How are you treating patients with long COVID right now?
Yeah, it's interesting because long COVID is kind of, I don't want to make the analogy like cancer, but it's a very generic term, right? So at Northwestern, we're very fortunate to have a long COVID clinic where we're looking at, depending on what type of long COVID you have, is it your loss of taste and smell? Is it fogginess? Is it lung problems? Is it heart problems? And that we're making sure that those individuals are, one, getting into any clinical trials that may be available for medications. We're looking to study to say, why did you get long COVID and your neighbor did not? So we're still at the tip of the iceberg here, and I think you'll find that there's many leading institutions. Northwestern's fortunate to have a long COVID clinic that's organized by Dr. Charlie Davidson, one of the renowned cardiologists in the Midwest here, and he is really kind of leading this and shepherding this to make sure that we gather as much information as we can, and that we get people in to see the experts. You may go see your doctor, and he may see one, two, three long COVID patients. What we're trying to do is cohort those patients at Northwestern so that we can come up with some clinical trials to see if we can prevent it or we can treat it to shorten the duration.
As CBS reported, there is a huge study that's going to get underway soon from the National Institute of Health. So we're going to be hearing a lot more about long COVID for sure. WGN. Continuing our Monday morning house call from Dr. Kevin Most of Northwestern Medicine. Before we move on to another topic, let me ask a question about people who are getting reinfected. And we all know lots of folks in that category now, Dr. Most. Is it true that younger people are more likely to get COVID again in addition to folks who are unvaccinated?
Yeah, you hit it kind of right on the head. And it's kind of interesting the way you even asked the question. Because two things are happening here. One, younger people, we know that they're much more socially active, often going in big groups. Mitigation strategies are kind of decreased. In other words, they're not wearing masks. They're not really social distancing. They kind of have this sense of being, you know, power Superman. I'm not to be concerned about that. Plus, they have the lowest vaccination rates. So we are seeing younger individuals getting back, getting COVID more than once. And people could say, oh, I already had COVID. I'm not going to get it again. You have to understand that that's not true, especially now anybody who got Delta or got the original COVID. Right now, like I said, we're looking at BA4, BA5, which is 4 to 5 times as contagious. So certainly something that everyone should be concerned about.
Is the severity of reinfections lower when compared with a first COVID-19 infection?
Yes, absolutely. So we know you're going to have somewhat milder symptoms. So if you look at it as an individual, say, oh, okay, well, I'll be laid up for 5, 6, 7, 10 days, maybe low grade fever and that. But I think in the bigger picture, you have to look at it and say, but now I may expose my grandparent to that. I may expose a friend who has a comorbidity. So we have to make sure that we're looking at this from a global point of view and a societal point of view versus just a personal point of view.
Dave Bennett has a question for you, doctor. Hey, stand by. This will be a good one.
Oh, I don't know about that, but good morning. So I know a lot of people have been really sick but have tested negative for COVID, or they have not tested positive. My wife, she was diagnosed with a sinus infection. She was sick for like 3 weeks, and every time tested negative and tested repeatedly. So we were just talking about the other day, wondering, is it possible that these tests somehow are missing the new variants? Is it then some of these COVID cases are going kind of under the radar?
Well, 2 points to that question, Dave. One is that a lot of people aren't getting tested. Two is we all have to understand regular infections are back. So the regular generic good old sinus infections and bronchitis and upper respiratory infections are certainly back. Now, individuals who are testing, you have to make sure that you're testing at the appropriate time. If you run out and test that first day, you may not test positive. But you have full-blown symptoms for 3 or 4 days, and you're still testing negative, there's not going to be a doctor that says, here, takes take Paxlovid, we're going to be like, hey, we need to start watching you for a bacterial sinus infection or something else. So the testing is actually increasing in accuracy as we've moved along. So it is still catching the subvariants, but certainly we have to understand that we have a lot of infections going around right now that are not COVID.
Dave, you can follow up with the doctor on the golf course.
Sounds good. Yes.
I wanted to get in this study and find out what the word is on this. Apparently, health food or exercise alone isn't enough to prevent chronic disease, according to this new research. This was quite a study, wasn't it, Doc?
It was, Bob. And this does. This goes right up Dave Ennett's wheelhouse here. So this is a study that's been going on for somewhere between 10 and 15 years in the UK. What they did is they took 350,000 people with the average age in the mid-50s that were healthy. They excluded them from the study if they had any chronic illnesses of cancer or heart disease or diabetes or anything like that. So they took healthy individuals and said, all right, we are going to look at you to see if exercise alone prevents your cardiovascular risk, or diet alone, or is it a combination? And it's very interesting what they showed. You know, they showed you can eat the best diet in the world and still end up with heart disease and have a heart attack. Or you can exercise like a maniac and still end up with heart disease and have a heart attack. What they found is the individuals that had a great diet. Now, when I say diet, I don't mean I'm only going to restrict myself to so many calories. These are individuals that had 4.5 cups of fruits and vegetables. They had at least 2 servings of fish a week, no more servings than 5 of a red meat. So it was a quality diet. And then they did at least somewhere between 10 and 75 minutes of vigorous activity. In other words, it caused you to activity to a point where you started to sweat. Those are the individuals that they showed that had the lowest mortality risk from cardiovascular. So showing that you need both diet and exercise, not one or the other.
And so much for me thinking a 3-mile run after eating 2 hot dogs will cancel out the bad effects of the junk food, I guess.
Correct. You may bring your weight down, but you're not going to do that. So, but I have to tell people, too, you know, you can every so often, I don't want to say cheat on your diet, but you certainly can have a little bit of something. But if you have this basic foundations, you look at Dave Ennett and what he has for lunch. He's got the basics foundations, and he's very particular about what he eats, and he exercises. That's the kind of guy that we want to watch. The guy that says, you know what, I'm going to have the pizza, and I'm going to go run 10 miles tomorrow to get rid of that pizza, and then doesn't do anything else, those are the individuals who are going to have increased risk.
That's the latest from Dr. Most and also from our model patient, Dave Ennett.
Thanks,
talk to you next week, Doc.
Take care, you guys.
News at the top of the hour from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming up.